inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is my rock star, Erica De La Cruz, media personality, author, and founder of Passionistas, and I'm the Empowerista, so it was like meant to be.
Perfect.
Finally, we're coming together.
Yes!
So excited to learn all about your journey.
Yay!
Thank you. Let's start with, what is Passionistas?
Yes. So Passionistas, tips, tales, and tweetables from women pursuing their dreams.
Love it.
Yay! Is a book and community, really. So this is the book, and Passionistas is essentially, I lead a group of about 38 amazing millennial girl boss entrepreneurs who have succeeded in their industries, and in each chapter are telling the true stories of what they've overcome. So not necessarily, well, some are the tips and hacks, you know, becoming from a blogger to an entrepreneur, that type thing. But a lot of it is really in-depth stories about these girls going through bullying, as we all know.
Oh, wow.
You know, ending up in a mental institution, trying to pick from the 12 personalities by the time she was in college. There's YouTubers talking about, you know, struggling with dyslexia, friends of mine from the rap Hollywood, Kill 'Em with Chic clothing, all lost people who were really close to them. So it's the things that you don't really consume online when you think about entrepreneurship. So that is the book.
Cool.
And yeah, it was exciting. Became an Amazon bestseller.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yay. A couple months back. And so I continue to get this feedback of people who have read this book, and it's essentially just, I didn't realize, really, like, I thought it'd be fun to do. Now it really is apparent to me that people are reading it and it's touching lives. And that's just
makes it so much
way
better,
exactly,
and worth it,
yeah,
and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a co-founder in this,
yes,
project, which,
yeah,
is amazing. Tell me about him.
He is incredible. Yeah, my co-founder is Kyle Wilson. So he is the founder of Jim Rohn International. So if you know Jim Rohn, and if you don't, the quote, you are the sum total of the people, of the five people you spend, mm-hmm, the most time with.
Totally familiar,
yeah,
with it.
Yes.
And it's so true.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So my partner was Jim Rohn's partner for 18 years until he passed away. And we just got back from a Tony Robbins this weekend, and Tony was referencing Jim Rohn all weekend.
No way.
And I was just, you know, texting my partner, like, Tony's talking about Jim. And yeah, he's my co-founder on the book. He also did like Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneur's Soul in the same,
yeah,
sort of format.
We've all heard of that. Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
So what did you learn from him? And how did that really help your journey?
Oh, so much. So I learned a ton from Kyle. It's so amazing to collaborate with an energy that is, that just supplements yours. Often people are like, I don't have enough in common with this person, I can't partner with them. That's a pitfall.
Yeah.
You shouldn't actually have that much in common, right? You should complement each other. And he's, you know, twice my age in Texas, and I'm a California girl in my 20s, but we connected on the power of story. And he saw a talk that I was giving. We had met and we just connected via soul and changing the world through story. And he continues to also be a mentor of mine. And I think the biggest thing that he taught me, which I developed this out, I was struggling with getting back to so many people. So at the time that Kyle and I had met, there was so much inbound communication that I just like didn't know what to do with it. I thought I was going to ruin relationships. I was going to let people,
yeah,
down,
mm-hmm,
people pleasing.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest piece of advice that was just invaluable to me, he said, Erica, that as you grow, that pie is going to get bigger. And that portion of people who right now are vying for your attention, but maybe, you know, don't want you to wait a day to get back to them, is only going to expand with it. So rather than trying to get back to all of it, being complete with it being incomplete, because this is the direction my life's going.
You just almost have to surrender a little bit that it's not always going to be perfect,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
your communication and timeliness and all of that.
Right. 100%.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there a commonality theme in here? Like a common experience that all of these women either learned or,
yeah,
dealt with?
So I wouldn't really go for theme. Well, so the theme is they're all different stories, all different backgrounds. If you're an entrepreneur in health, if you're an entrepreneur in the digital space, we have some amazing YouTubers, bloggers, started on Instagram, if you will, speakers, TEDx, entrepreneurs, and Forbes, all different stories, all different women. However, the common thread is that they have all been in that hustle. So they've all been paddling so hard, but smiling to make sure that their brands and their identities and their dreams are above water. And they've all made the leap from, daydream to dream job. And so many people are afraid of that. So what's the difference in the women who actually go for it? And what have they been through? So it's things that they've overcome and really the nitty gritty of the stuff you don't see on Instagram, right?
Like, right.
Yeah. The antithesis of the wake up perfect story.
Yeah. It can get a little dirty, right? Behind the scenes.
Exactly. 100%. It's like, there's tears, there's trials, there's tribulations, like homelessness. One of these women came with $400 in her pocket, and now she works side by side with Darren Hardy, one of the greatest entrepreneurs, I think, right now. And she tells the story of how she lived off Goodwill and is now inspiring 6,000 alone last weekend at her seminar. So
wow.
It was incredible.
So what do you think is that key from going from just a dream to actually being a reality?
Yeah. So I think that key is living in, and I know we were talking before the show, and I said I'm so passionate about living unreasonably. Mm-hmm. And really the key, I believe, to having a dream versus going full throttle and pursuing it, monetizing it, making it a real brand.
Let's talk about your background. First of all, you overcame a lot of obstacles. Tell me about that really pivotal moment in your life when you actually experienced homelessness.
Yeah. I grew up in a middle-class family and essentially, and such a good, I loved my family, my mother, sister, and father, and they owned a business for 26 years, coincidentally. And I went off to college, and after 26 years, in 2009, the business closed. And I was away. I was in San Diego. I'm from Northern California. I was away, so I didn't really know what was going on exactly. But when I went back home after the year of college, I arrived to stay at home for the summer, and there were, chains bound across my two front doors. And totally transparently, my family, my dad suffered some depression and he lost this business that he had built. So he kind of didn't really want to do too much. My mother held it all together. My sister, so rebellious, kind of ran away. And I found myself there with my mom cleaning out our home that I had lived in since I was 2 years old. And trying to figure out where I was going to stay next and where I was going to live. And then in that summer that I was back, I lost her as well to voluntary homelessness, if you will. Kind of like the stuff that you read about, forsaking materialism.
Yeah.
Like out of a soap opera, like this woman like cut the crust off my sandwiches. And it gives me stomach turning to share it even now.
Yeah.
But to a completely different lifestyle that she chose to lead. And I think that was in losing all of our items. And so,
and you lost all of your items, right?
Yes, yeah. So all of our items from the home were sold to the state of California because the storage units were essentially unpaid. And I made it back to college, but through the course of those years, I'd get Facebook messages and weird phone calls about people seeing pictures of me or my family in various places like flea markets and swap meets.
Wow.
And so, And so essentially the storage units were sold to the state and in turn repurposed at flea markets and swap meets. And someone very near and dear to me, who the book is dedicated to, actually, it's in the first cover, was the nanny that I grew up with. And she, with zero resource, just willpower, went to every swap meet and flea market and was collecting my things. And I would come back and see things. And then finally, she bought an urn of my grandmother's. It was $3 at a frickin' swap meet. And she finally decided to be honest with me and tell me where everything was coming from.
Just magically showing up. Yeah,
exactly. And that moment was pivotal, not because it was so I was distraught, but really because I wasn't. Really because I was just so grateful that I had these people in my life.
It probably puts a life into perspective of what really matters.
Exactly. I had everything that I needed with me. I was armed with everything I had ever learned, everything that I had ever done, and stuff is just stuff. You don't need it to do the things you want to do in your life, no matter how tempting it is to say, no, you need this. You can build it from nothing, really. I'm proof.
Oh, this is so good. Okay, well, we need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how her heartfelt story has inspired her as an entrepreneur.
Thanks,
Alex. We will be right back with Erica De La Cruz, media personality, author, and founder of Passionistas. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 0707. Enjoy!
You shouldn't have to choose.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is my rock star, Erica De La Cruz. She is the media personality, author, and founder behind Passionistas.
Yay.
And this is so fun hearing about your story. You just shared your heartfelt story and how that has inspired you as an entrepreneur. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's really... what it did was it sort of shocked the system. And sometimes, I'm not going to say when nothing terrible happens, right? But sometimes when things are consistently comfortable for a human being, they don't realize that they're called to something more until years and years down the line. I was, 19 years old and realized that, oh my God, there's only one life. One life. I get one. And I had this adrenaline sort of fueling me to make the people who helped me get back to college, family, friends, my family, my nanny, who I just mentioned. I had the drive to make them proud all of the sudden. And I knew that it was going to be through what I was called to do. So getting a 9-to-5 and staying there was not going to be my path after that, sometimes you just need to get jolted out, because before then, my first year of college, I was okay, what are some good jobs to get? My second year in college after this summer, I was what do I want to do? Commuted to LA, oh my God, I was that girl who was the sororities and the frats are out partying. And I was commuting to LA to get on red carpets and build this personal brand while in college, make all of these connections, because I knew that I wanted leverage. And I didn't know at the time that, I'm building social proof and network and leverage, but that's what I was doing.
Well, that's amazing that you had that intuition when you were in college to do that. I mean, when I was in college, I was just, trying to pass my exams.
My roommate.
That's incredible.
Yay. Well, thanks. I remember getting home and my roommates were could you do less? And I'm and of course, as an overachiever, I didn't think I was doing enough. I had this constant, I'm failing. What are you talking about? That most overachievers have. It'll never be enough. But I think when your world's rocked like that, all of a sudden there's no plan B. And I did end up going into a 9-to-5, but only because I started interning on a radio morning show. And the morning show people said that I could keep my position on air. And be paid a salary, have my 401k and my benefits to become the marketing director of that same station. And I learned things that were invaluable there.
Yeah.
But all the while, and my broadcast family knows this, so I was an amazing asset to the team and leader and manager, but I was really thinking, who can I connect with? How can I leverage this corporate environment to get me to when I transition? So if anyone out, you know, there or in your audience is still considering getting a 9-to-5, or maybe they're in one, like the day job building the dream job, just start thinking and think like an entrepreneur
right.
in the corporate setting. Like,
who can I network with?
Who can I collect? What emails can I collect? I ran an internship program and I turned that same internship program from the broadcasting world to Erica Dela Cruz, my internship program that I started a month after I left the station, just because I needed help building my business and brand. And it's invaluable. So a lot of people think it's time wasted, but it's really filling the tool belt. So.
When did you know it was time to leave the 9-to-5 job and actually go out on your own?
Oh, that was I know that very well. That answer was when I had a voice, a bit of a voice. I was a director there. So if you know what that means, I had a staff of about 17. And the ideas and things that I brought to the table were implemented at points. So I was like, I should be your digital media host. I should go cover events and things. And while the answers were yes, so I got to kind of on the side start building all of this.
Right.
One day, the answer was no. And it was because I cannot tell you to this day what the call was about. But I had to stay after work to be in a conference room to overhear a call over. And this goes to show you, I didn't care about it because I don't even know what it was to this day. But I had to simultaneously skip an event that I wanted to go downtown to cover. I wanted to interact with these amazing people honing in on their skills in the entertainment world. May have been a producer down from LA, and I really wanted to pick his brain. And my company, you know, said, you know, you have responsibilities here and you can't go. And I was like, that's it. I want to be able to like make the rules. So,
A little bit of a wake up call.
Yes.
Like, I'm not my own boss ultimately,
exactly.
But you had been building it. So you're able to leave and now you've built an entire business.
Yay.
So take us behind the scenes a little bit. What does your business look like from a structure standpoint?
And the other thing I think is really important to note is that I didn't have that epiphany and then the next day quit.
Okay.
I didn't have that epiphany and then a week later even put in my 2 weeks. I waited 6-7 months because your mentality changes when you're 100% going to leave. So I got someone to hold me accountable and there was no spite. I became happier in my 9-to-5 the next 6 months because I continued to use some of that work time to build my brand and really leave with everything I needed. So prepare yourself. Like, don't
do the transition.
Bridges. Yeah, exactly.
That's great advice.
Thank you. And so now, I have, it started out and continues to be one of the buckets, if you will, that I have are brand contracts. So I'm a spokesperson for a few brands and I develop all those contracts. So rather than, some host life is like audition to audition, but they're afraid to be the entrepreneur and do the approaching. I just began with the approaching. I said, this is my contract. I can also do your integrative marketing. I have a team of two because I had interns at the time who can connect you to this and that. So I started developing contracts with different brands. I still host Fashion Week San Diego right now.
And you reach out to all these people.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's a common misconception when it comes to influencers, bloggers, everyone in that space of, brands must be coming and reaching out to them. But that's just not the case. I mean, you can even have a million followers, you know,
and
still have to be pitching yourself. So give me a little bit of insight into how you pitch yourself correctly.
Totally. So Alex, that's 100% correct. So many people are like, I can't wait till someone knocks on my door and discovers I'm talented. No one's ever going to knock on your door. Like, no one's knocking on the door. No one's going to walk you to your throne. You have to assume the throne, like assume the throne that you were meant to sit in because no one's going to do it for you. So essentially that really looked like putting a media kit together. So I had I really was a learner. I learned so much in the broadcasting world because I wanted to do this sort of the rest of my life. So I knew, okay, I need great photos. I need to have my social proof. I need to have the names of every, every standout personality and or director that's notable so I can pitch that. I documented. That is there something to take away? Document the things that you're participating in, the journey, articles, press, media, document all of that stuff because that's what I use to pitch everything that I've been a part of.
And visuals are everything. It's not enough just to tell people, this is who I am, this is what I've done. You need to show them. Well, I love that. Yeah. I wish I had so much more time to ask you many more questions. Yay. I'm going to ask them off camera.
Cool.
Thank you so much for your time and insight. You
Absolutely.
Are just so lovely.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. Yay. Erica Dela Cruz, media personality, author, and founder of Passionistas. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Vanessa Ballesteros. She's the CEO and founder of Sunbox. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Sunbox, what do you guys do?
So Sunbox, we are a healthy vending machine company, and we are committed to promoting a healthy lifestyle, local small businesses, and conscious consumerism.
How did you get into this space? I feel like the health trend is really big right now, but it's also a very noisy space. So how did you choose to get into the health and food industry?
Well, it was actually inspired by my former career. I was a television producer for over 10 years. And as you know, being in this space.
I said, look, you just got out of like high school or college.
I know, right? I look really young.
Wow.
It works in my favor eventually, but so, you know, working in that space, you work crazy hours, as you guys know.
Yeah.
You're working 14, 17 hours a day for weeks on end, and I always had a problem finding something healthy to eat, especially after hours.
Tell me about it.
Right. There was nothing convenient, and you just had no time, and the only thing that was available was junk. So there was always the option between, okay, do I eat the junk or do I just not eat at all?
Yeah.
And I would oftentimes choose the latter. I just wouldn't eat at all until later in the day when I did have some time. But at that point, it was dark, you know, it was nighttime. As a woman, I wouldn't exactly feel safe going out into a dark garage, into my car to leave, get something, come back into a dark garage and then start my work. And it would also get in the flow of work. So, you know, for me, I saw that there was just a huge problem there, and I wasn't the only one. Everyone I knew wanted to eat healthy, but wasn't eating healthy because it just wasn't convenient or easy.
So how do you stand out, though, from all the other people that are out there? I feel like, you know, that's an amazing story. You've got, you know, a reason why you decided to create this thing, but you're in such a competitive space. What do you feel like you guys are doing that's different?
Well, so what we always intended to do with this was we wanted to actually give back by partnering with local food and beverage makers and making it easy for people to support their own community by purchasing these products.
Okay.
And so what has always driven our mission was to really promote these small businesses and provide them with a platform and let people know, like, hey, eating healthy actually tastes really good. And not only does it taste good, but you can do it so easily. You know, we wanted to put eating healthy in people's paths. Because it's hard to get people to do things out of their comfort zone or get them to try anything new. Yeah. So we wanted to take that friction out of it and just really put it in front of them so that they would.
In a simple box.
Right, in a simple box, a delightful unconventional box, and just put it in front of them so that there was really nothing getting in the way of them being able to eat healthy.
Did you bring some sun boxes on?
They're actually pretty big.
They're huge.
They're actually pretty big, yeah.
So do I order it offline? It comes to my house and I have all these little things in it?
No. So they're these beautifully designed and smart kiosks.
Okay.
I tell people vending machines because people don't really know what a kiosk is. But they're sizable. They really have a strong
and
presence about
them. It's full of healthy snacks that I can pick from.
Right. It's full of organic, all natural, really great tasting, healthy snacks, food and beverages.
Well, let's dive in. Let's shift gears a little bit. Tell me more about your past. You said you were in the TV and producing space for 10 years.
Right, over 10 years.
Wow. So what was that like? Why did you go into that space and then shift gears into the health space?
Right, because it just seems so logical right now. So I was in television for over 10 years, producing shows like The Apprentice, Survivor, The Amazing Race, Hell's Kitchen. And I got into it when I first got out of college. I majored in communication when I was studying at USC. And at the time, I was doing all these different internships, and really exploring the different genres within entertainment. And out of all of them, the one that really spoke to me was reality. And I loved it, and I was able to get a job right away in reality. And from there, I was hooked. I loved being able to travel on the job.
Was there a lot of traveling?
Oh, lots of traveling. Especially on The Amazing Race, one season we're traveling to like 10 different countries. So it was great to travel as your job, but also to get to learn about people's stories. You know, for me, I love hearing about people's stories and I love being able to tell their stories. So that all actually led up and helped me build the skills to do what I'm doing right now. Because I see that everything I'm doing was basically what I was doing in the past. It's just reapplying those skills. And everything from organization, logistics, to really the creative, it all translates perfectly into being an entrepreneur. And also the fast turnarounds, you know, the pressure, and working with very different personalities. All of that, I see, has culminated to what I'm doing today.
Well, I love it because you went from TV to the health space. CEO and founder of Sunbox, Vanessa Ballesteros, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. And I feel like you're the perfect person to ask, what is the time that somebody should cut the cord from their 9-to-5 job and get started in entrepreneurship? And the reason why I think you're the perfect person to ask is because you spent 10 years building your career as a producer in the TV world, and then you made this shift and you got in a completely different industry in the health space and creating food vending machines. And you've been bootstrapping it. So I wanna ask, for the aspiring entrepreneurs right now who are tuning with us, they have a 9-to-5 job, they listen to shows like this to connect the puzzle pieces of when is it the right time to cut the cord, how much money do I need, what connections, how clear of a business plan do I need to have, do I need to raise money? And you know, we interview so many people that help connect the dots, and so I'm hoping you can help connect some of the dots for our audience here of when is it the right time to cut the cord from your 9-to-5 job and make the shift over.
Well, I think it's really important to point out that you're never gonna feel like it is the right time. And it's just about going for it. But at the same time, I think you really have to think about if you really want this that badly. Because when you're an entrepreneur, there's no safety net. It's just you, and you're gonna have to be okay with that. And it's not for everyone. You know, I think this world is about diversity, right? And there's entrepreneurs, and then there's people who support entrepreneurs. And I think a lot of people who want to start something don't really want to be entrepreneurs, but they want to be part of it. And that's okay. And yeah. People have to be okay with that.
You can be part of
that.
A startup.
Right. You can be part of that. But, you know, but if you really do believe that you want to go out, you want to start a business of your own, and there's no option B, then...
So burn the bridges and burn the boats?
not necessarily. It's just then, you know, really think about, are you willing to be uncomfortable for a long time?
One of my mentors asked me, are you willing to give your life up for it? Because that's really what's going to have to happen if you want to achieve some remarkable feat in the world and have a huge impact and make a ton of money and be rewarded for having a massive impact in the world. You have to be willing to exchange your life for that goal. And I think that that's, in my own words, what you're trying to say is, you know, you have to find a purpose to serve that's greater than yourself. And when you have a big enough reason for why you're going to commit, you're not going to get beat down, which is inevitable in entrepreneurship. You're going to get back up.
And you have to have really the right mindset.
Yeah.
You have to be...
It takes
be,
the mindset for
right.
that, for sure.
You have to be like what some people would call idiotically optimistic.
Yeah. Pollyanna, overly optimistic.
Right. Because you're going into something where everything's stacked up against you.
Yeah.
And what you're trying to achieve doesn't exist yet. So you have to have that mental fortitude of not looking at what's currently your circumstance and just looking forward and focusing on that vision and working towards that vision. Because if you don't have that mental fortitude at the end of the day, then this might not be the right thing for you. Because at the end of the day, that's all you really have. Because what you're trying to accomplish isn't here yet.
Do you have mentors or books that you would recommend that have impacted you?
I have...
Like for me, Tony Robbins, John Assaroff, Deepak Chopra, people like that. Who do you have?
I have a lot of mentors, friends/mentors.
Do you have people well-known ones that people...
Not any yet. Okay. They will be. But they're fantastic mentors who always keep me on the straight and narrow in that they remind me whenever I make a decision that I should always make the decision from my own truth. And if you make a decision from your own truth, you know, from what it is really that resonates with you, then you cannot really make a bad decision. Whatever comes from that, it's meant to happen, and it all works out for the best.
What do you feel like from your journey? Because I feel like you have such a cool story about how you immigrated here with your family at the age of two, and how now you've, you know, built your own business and you went into the TV space. I feel like you've done a lot for somebody who's just moved here. You're essentially somebody who's living the American dream. What do you feel like is something on your journey or your story that has been maybe one of the most like light bulb moments, like an aha moment, like, oh, looking back, or I can remember at 18 years old, I had this light bulb moment and it made this huge shift in the way that I thought, felt, or behaved. And as a result of having that new way of looking at the world, it led me to where I'm at today. Do you have a moment like that?
It was, it was a moment of realizing that there's nothing to seek out. It's actually here. You know, a lot of times we wait for the right time, for the right job, the right relationship to be who we think we want to be.
I'll be happy when.
Right. I'll be happy when this happens. I'll be happy when I get that. But really, you can start at any moment. And so when I realized that, like, oh, this is really just a mental thing that I decide. If I want to be that way, I could be that way now.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, you know, focusing and thinking the thoughts that you want to, that you've been holding off, and doing it now.
As we wrap up our show, what is a superpower that you wish you could have? If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Okay, so some people don't consider this a superpower.
Okay, well,
but I think the superpower I would love to have would be to communicate in any language by just downloading that language, you know, in a matter of 5 seconds and then being able to speak fluently with other people.
Interesting.
Because, you know, communication is everything.
I 100% agree. Mine would be to just teleport around the world. I could go anywhere and be everywhere all the time. But
right, but,
like,
you know, communication, language is everything. If people understand what you're trying to do and you can communicate that.
You're just saying this because you have a communications major.
No.
We got to wrap up, but Vanessa, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Communications expert. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
It's like slipping on a pair of prescription glasses for the first time, as everything becomes super crisp and clear. That's what going from 4K to 8K is all about, with Samsung's new TVs. And behind it all is something called quantum dot technology. Scott Cohen from Samsung explains.
So, you know, when we're talking about QLED with Samsung, we are talking about a technology called quantum dot. And the reason Samsung has made these advancements in quantum dot and applied them to our TV has to do with color accuracy and color brightness. So when we think of a Samsung QLED, first and foremost, that's Samsung's flagship line of TVs. That's the best TVs we make. It's based on quantum dot because using the technology of quantum dot, we can get the full color spectrum accurate in any brightness condition.
More info is at Samsung.com.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
So how can you take what you love to do and turn it into a media company? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us to answer that question is Chris Dorsey, the CEO and founder of Dorsey Pictures. Chris, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Great to be here.
So how can we do it? I know you've been somebody who's not only, you know, talked about this, but you've actually done it for yourself. So how can somebody else do it?
You know, I think I've been deathly afraid of working 9-to-5 jobs that I didn't like. So I kind of figured, what is it I really love to do, and how do I parlay my avocation into my vocation? And so we started 15 years ago with Orion Entertainment, which is now Dorsey Pictures, and it was really built on my DNA. It was about my outdoor lifestyle. I love the outdoors. I love traveling. So we built television shows around that. We brought in brands that supported that, created branded entertainment around that. So it's one of those deals where if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I think George Burns said that. And that's really what I've been trying to do for almost 20 years now.
I love that. And I think that, you know, you so eloquently articulated it. But for the person out there who says, it sounds cool to hear that you've been able to do it, but I myself am still stuck in that 9-to-5 job. Either A, how do I know when the right time is to cut the cord? And B, you know, ultimately, how do I make the right decision on when I should go into my business, go into another venture? So you've done it, but what's the advice for somebody else out there who's
still in 9-to-5? Yeah, look, I think that's a great question. I think bottom line is there has never been a better time, frankly. People will argue that it's a very difficult time in media. It's very fragmented. You know, it's very difficult to break through, all that kind of stuff. And some of that is certainly true. But in terms of access, the average person now has access to media like we've never seen before. You know, your one-man band kind of operations now because of technology and reach are really incredible to see what's happening and how these individuals have become media phenomenons and sensations and how brands have tried to grab onto them just because they're doing what they love in a blog, they're doing it on a YouTube channel, they're sharing it in whatever way they want to, maybe a television show, maybe it's a whole portfolio of media, whether it's digital or print or linear television. So I think, you know, quite frankly, for me, it was I got kind of sick and tired of listening to somebody else. I knew what I wanted to do. I had enough capacity in terms of connections in an industry to sort of make it happen. And I sort of knew at that moment that I can do this. There wasn't any big fear. You know, by the way, I had a wife with a really good paying job and benefits as well, which doesn't hurt. But it's one of those things I think you will know internally. And a lot of people are transitioning right now. There's a still a soft economy out there. Forget what the pundits tell you. It's a soft economy. And there's a lot of people that are underemployed, if not unemployed. And so they're really transforming this economy now. And they're basing it on what is it I like to do and what is it I can do and trying to marry that. And we're frankly looking at this in linear television. A lot of our development now in terms of TV shows is spent around a lot of people that have passions and creating businesses around those passions. And how does that transition into a television show for us? But for them, it's the television show is making people aware of their business, their opportunities. So it's really kind of an interesting time, I think. And I wouldn't be bashful. A lot of this stuff can be done part-time. You know, so you could keep working for the man, no problem, and do something part-time. And I did some of this as well before I transitioned full-time into my own company with, you know, 300 employees and all that fun stuff. Back at a simpler time when life was much easier. But I think you could do that, and you'll know when your business on the side suddenly surpasses your mainstay business, that your workaday life, and you're going to say, look, I want to follow my passion. I want to go. It's very organic. It's very natural. It's very common, I think, for small businesses to start that way. So for me, it's been, you know, it's not easy. There's no startup that's easy. Nobody's doing it for you. It's still a challenging environment. We have relatively high business taxes in America. That's one person's opinion, but compared to the rest of the world, we do. We've got other issues that we're all dealing with, right? We have to get through as business owners. But when you love what you do, again, you will find a way to make it work. And a lot of it really is perspiration and not so much inspiration.
Well, I agree with everything you just said, and I appreciate you for saying that and just being transparent and real about what your story looked like. Founder and CEO of Dorsey Pictures, Chris Dorsey, is joining us right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Chris, I appreciate you for sharing what you did, and I'm not always a big fan of asking the 3, 5, 7, 12 steps or tips, but I'm curious from your perspective what you feel like are maybe three, and don't have to stop at three if you don't want, but three things that you feel like somebody can learn from you and your experience about how they can go from cutting the cord to ultimately taking their vision and an idea for a business and a lifestyle and doing something they love and actually turning it into something profitable as you have. Could be three things, could be more.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I would have done differently is I would have found a really great mentor at the outset. I would have found somebody who'd done it, who had gone through the process, somebody I could trust, somebody whose opinion I valued. And you know, crazily, I had those people around me. I just didn't really engage them. I don't know if it was a pride thing or what, but you know, I would find that mentor, because I find people come to me all the time now with startups and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Would you do this? And I love giving the advice of, here's all the mistakes I made. If that can help you going forward, amen, brother, take it. You know, I hope it
can help. So mentors is a great one. What are some short and sweet, two more ones?
Well, I think, you know, I'm in a creative business, so we're all focused on creativity, and you've got to be able to marry the business side of that. And my wife is very active in the business with an MBA, and she's very much the yin to my yang. And I think having balance is really important too. You can surround yourselves, and I see this in the creative enterprise all the time, with a bunch of really great creative minds, and none of them can do a spreadsheet. You know, you've got to bring in assets and intellectual capital that complements your own drive and your own vision for a company. And you got to do that early, otherwise you won't have a chance to do it later.
I love that one. Chris, I really wish that you were able to be here in the studio with us. I love your passion and ability to articulate. You're obviously somebody who's smart and successful, which is why I wish we had a chance to meet in person. But appreciate you for coming on the show either way, even though we had to do it over Skype.
All right.
Appreciate you for your time, man.
Happy to be here.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.